pleasure to be here, and I want to thank not only the sponsors of the program, but especially my good friend Rabbi Gruen for extending the invitation. And I think that an evening such as this, an opportunity which I don't always get to come into Yerushalayim, to be in an area that's used with Torah, and to celebrate Limud HaTorah, something really special, and it's really an honor to be here. What I'd like to do for you this evening is I want to tell you two stories, one in the beginning about your past, one in the end about your future, and in the middle, I want to share with you three ideas about Limud HaTorah. First, a story that relates to your past. There's a story that they tell about the famous but apocryphal city of Chelm. Chelm, as some of you may know, is the metaphor, inaccurate to the reality of what Chelm was. It was a very learned city. But it's become, as part of Jewish folklore and wisdom, the city of, how shall we say, naive and not the most sharp people. So the story is told of a typical, quintessential Chelm resident who wanted to go to the local sauna, the town Schwitz. But his worry was that when he would go there, he would get undressed to go into the sauna, but if he's not wearing any clothes, how would he know who he is? He knows what he looks like, but he looks at himself always dressed. If he'll be without clothing in the Schwitz, he's worried he will forget who he is. So he has an ingenious solution. He ties a little red bandle around his big toe. And this way he'll be wearing something that he remembers is him. He says, it's okay, I'll get undressed, but I'll always remember who I am because of this little red string. So he goes into the Schwitz, he soaks up the hot air and the steam, and he's luxuriating in the therapeutic benefits of the Schwitz, of the sauna. And after the prescribed 15, 20 minutes, he goes out back into the changing room, and when he looks down, lo and behold, the string is gone. Compounding his nightmare, when he goes back towards the sauna, he notices that the string somehow not only fell off his toe, but got attached, got stuck to the bottom of someone else's foot. And he doesn't know what to do. So he thinks long and hard, and he comes up with the only solution he can. And he goes over to the man, he says, excuse me, I know who you are, but could you please tell me who I am? So I have to tell you, gentlemen, other than a few of the Talmidim who I recognize from my Shurim and Shalavim last year, we haven't met. But I know who you are. I know who you are because you are the men, you are the Bachrim, who chose to put on not a red bendel, but the Keser Torah on your head. You are the men who, given an opportunity, took that. Given a choice, made the right one. Not only to keep up with your regular shadarim at the various yeshivas where you're learning, but to accept upon yourselves a voluntary extra learning seder to make a siyum on beautiful mesechtos, makos, and megillah. That's who you are. You are that type of person. You don't need anything extra or extraneous. It may be invisible, but it's very real. And don't forget that the Keser Torah is on your head. You are nothing short, therefore, of royalty. And therefore, I am proud to be here to share some words of Torah with you this evening. Every morning, we make the Birchos HaTorah. To Machlokas Rishonim, even an issue with the Nusach, whether they're three distinct or perhaps only two brachos. But we say these brachos every day. And perhaps because we say them every day, and especially as we're still kind of rubbing the sleep out of our eyes, we may not always appreciate the valuable lessons and insightful wisdom and hashkafa that is contained in these brachos. So what I would like to do, therefore, is to review not only the individual brachos with you, but to share with you an insight, which I think each one of them, profound and instructive and appropriate, especially at this stage of your lives, one from each of the the brachos. So let's review. The first bracha we say every morning, Asher Kedeshanu B'Mesotah V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. That's the first bracha. Then we have in the middle the one that's questionable, whether it's his own bracha or not. We say V'Harevna, the Torah should be sweet, not only for us, but Finu V'Tzatzoenu, our children's children, we should be able to pass on the Torah. And finally, that third bracha, Asher Bacharbanu Mikola Amim, we thank Hashem for choosing us and giving us the Torah. So let's start with the first bracha. The first bracha, it would seem, is a standard Birchas HaMitzvah. Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvosav Vitzivanu. We make that bracha on so many mitzvos. We make that bracha when we blow the shofar, when we shake the lulav, light Shabbos candles. Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvosav Vitzivanu, Hanukkah candles, etc., etc. Tosfos in Maseches Brachos and other Rishonim there ask a very famous question, which once you hear the question becomes obvious, even though most of us never thought of it until we saw Tosfos. Tosfos gives the specific example to contrast as the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. A person has lunch in the sukkah and they come home from shul on a sukkah's morning. They make a leishay basukkah. Then maybe they go out, they rest, they do some other things, and then they come back in the afternoon for maybe a snack, maybe for some learning, other things. Certainly they come back for dinner. Let's say it's Yom Tov Sheni, or even if it's a Chol HaMoed. But you're going to sit, you're going to be Kaveh Asura. What do? You make another bracha, Leishei Basukah. You can make multiple brachos in one day. How come? So we know that's the basic concept in Halacha of Hesek. Hesek Hadas, it's a Hefsek. Once you take your mind off the mitzvahs, then you have to make a new bracha. The Tosfos asks, I don't understand. Person wakes up in the morning. Maybe they're a big masmid, maybe they learn before davening. Maybe they're a super masmid, they learn right after davening. But then they go where they're going. They go to college, they go to school, they go to work, they go to the gym, wherever they go. Could be hours upon hours. Now maybe this is a wonderful person, so maybe in the afternoon he learns a little bit. Maybe on the bus or the train he learns a little bit. Maybe he comes back at home at night, has a chavrusa, maybe learns with his children. So he learns. Tell me something, any of you ever make a second bracha later in the day? I hope not. You're not supposed to. We make only one bracha, Brachas HaTorah, every day. Even though, says Tosfos, it would seem obvious that there are various interruptions in between the various times that we may learn during the day. So Tosfos asks, why don't we make multiple brachos, just like we do with other mitzvos when there's a hefsek? So Tosfos answers, Shiny Torah. The Torah is different. One never leaves Torah. Torah never leaves a person's mind. They never forget it. They never give up on Torah. To call Shah Adam Mechuyav Lilmod. To Chsiv Higisabo. Vahavik Ma Yoshev Kol Yom. Below Hefsek. Because the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah is ever present and never ending, we're always Mechuyav to learn Torah. There was a Tosfos, in fact, there's never a Hefsek. Since there's never a hefsek, the question doesn't even get off the ground. The question is, since there was a hefsek, why don't we make two brachas, or three, or four, or five? The answer is no, there is no hefsek, because of higisa v'yom v'layla. So on the one hand, it's an obvious question, and it's a very beautiful, inspiring answer. The only one problem with Tosfos' answer is that if you're honest with yourself, it probably doesn't ring true. Really? The whole time you, your parents, your father, or you, if you're in school, you're in camp, you're at work, you're never masiach das from Torah the whole day, really? I know what it says in the Navi, I know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, I know what it says in the Rambam, but really? Who are we kidding? You're never masiach das? How you talking? Is that possible? So what's the pshat in Tosfos? So there's a number of deeper explanations to this. For example, Rav Soloveitchik gave once a very beautiful pshat. But the one that I want to share with you tonight is one that is from Rav Yitzchok Huttner, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, with Rosh Shiva Chaim Berlin. Has a beautiful series of mamarim, which perhaps some of you already have begun learning, and that is a sperm called Pachad Yitzchak. So in Shavuos, on the holiday of Shavuos, he has a mimer, which, when I was only a little bit older than almost everyone here in this room, I once had opportunity to spend Shabbos with Rav Aaron Shechter, the Rosh Shiva Chaim Berlin. I stayed at his house for Shabbos. And we actually spoke about the Shabbos afternoon, this piece in Rav Huttner. So it has a very special place in my heart, even though I learned it and discussed it over 20 years ago. And Rav Huttner, it's not a long piece, but it is a little bit complex. But leave aside all of the levels of development, The bottom line, says Rav Huttner, is you know what Pshat Tosfos is? You know why we don't have to make a second bracha? One bracha is enough? He said, because Talmud Torah is unique among all other mitzvos. Other mitzvos, there are things that you may do to help, to enable, to prepare for that mitzvah, but those aren't part of the mitzvah itself. They're the hechsher mitzvah, they're siyua, there's some other term you want to give it, but they're not the mitzvah. Talmud Torah is unique, says Rav Huttner, because Talmud Torah, and again, he has rayas for this, I'm happy to give you them afterwards if you want. He says, Talmud Torah is unique because everything that a person does, which is informed by what the Torah tells us, that is not only the right thing to do, but it is also a key of Talmud Torah. So when you go to the business meeting, and you make sure to order the kosher lunch, that's not just a key of the halachos of kashrus, that is a key of Talmud Torah. When you have an opportunity maybe to fudge something on a deal, but instead you're honest, that's not just yashrus, that's not just not stealing, that's a key of Talmud Torah. When someone cuts you off, and instead of getting angry at them, you control yourself, that's not just good midos, that's a key of Talmud Torah. Everything a person does which was informed by Torah is part of the mitzvah of Torah. And therefore, says Rav Huttner, that's what Tosfos meant. That is the all-encompassing nature of Torah. It doesn't have to be that we're referring to some big gadol or a tzaddik who every minute is thinking of Torah. Halavai. But even if not, even if it's not in your conscience, if it's not in your conscious memory or you're thinking about it explicitly, but everything you do which has been informed by Torah, doing it the right way, that is a key of Talmud Torah, and therefore, quite literally, says Rav Huttner, we are never miyayish from Torah. This is probably why the Nusach HaBracha is La'asok. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Mefarshim HaTur, for example, all discuss, and others, shouldn't say, Lilmod or Alimud Torah, why La'asok? So there are a few answers in the Rishonim to this, but one of the answers is perhaps relates to this point, that Torah which we're making a bracha on is not limited just to the moments of Limud. Any asek, any involvement you have in anything in life, which is being done al pi haTorah, that is not only the right thing to do, it's also a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. Most of you, whether you're Shana Aleph or will be going Shana Bet, whether you're Shana Bet or going Shana Gimel, most of you, I assume at some point in the near future, will be doing other things other than just learning full time. And over the course of your lifetime, most of you will be doing other things other than full-time kol. Well, even full-time kol is not 24 hours a day. We all have other aspects of our lives, and for many of us, it may be the bulk of the hours of our day. But the important message for you to understand is that even when you're doing those other things, you're not leaving Torah. You have this concept, you sometimes hear in the street people talking, you're leaving yeshiva, you're staying. It's all a misnomer, it's all false. You're never leaving Torah. Where you'll be is a different question, but you're never leaving Torah. Because if you live a life of Torah, that not only does that make you a good person, not only does it make you a erlich hayid, or whatever term you want to use, it is also a form of Talmud Torah. You're always being osek b'Torah. It's actually, I don't think, a coincidence that Rav Huttner, in a different volume of the Pachad Yitzchak, has a very famous letter, which one of his Talmidim, we don't know exactly what the Talmud was doing, but one thing we know is he wasn't yeshiva anymore. And he must have been working in some business, or some field, and he wrote a letter to Rav Huttner saying that unlike his time in yeshiva, where he felt a certain holistic existence, everything was in one direction, now he's working, so it sounds like he must learn a little bit still, and he goes to Minyan, but then he goes off to work, he feels like, he says to Rav Huttner, that I'm living a fake, or what he calls a double life. So Rav Huttner writes back to him, and says, you're making a ta'os yisodi, a fundamental mistake. He says, for example, so if you have a house with two rooms, is that a double house? Is that two houses? He says, not at all. Because there's one roof over both rooms. That's a big house, but it's not a double house. Similarly, says Rav Huttner, if you have Torah that is, so to speak, the roof, it is covering all of your life, then he says, and the whole letter is in Hebrew, but this part's in English. He says, you're not leading a double life, you're living a broad life. That letter in Rav Huttner is 100% l'shitaso with the piece he has in Shavuos. It's the same idea. If you understand that Torah is not just the moments you're sitting over at Daf Gemara, but Torah is everything you do that is you take with you from what you learned, So then it's not a double life, it's a broad life. And everything, therefore, is asik b'Torah, and therefore only one bracha is needed at the beginning of each morning. Point number one. Let's skip for a minute to the final bracha. Asher b'charbanu mikol ha'amim v'nasalanu es torasa. There seems to be a machlokes rishonim about whether these brachos that we're discussing, the Birchas HaTorah, are a mitzvah d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Virtually every bracha that you say before a mitzvah, pick any mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the bracha before the mitzvah is only d'rabbanan. The Ramban, in his Hasagos, the Sefer and Mitzvos of the Rambam, Ramban says that Birchas HaTorah is different. Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Not just learning Torah, the brachos are an obligation d'oraisa. It's not clear to what extent the Rambam disagrees or not. The Rambam does not count the mitzvah, and many Achronim, the Shagas Aryeh and others, assume that the Rambam argues. Then they have to discuss who's right, who has the rayas, the proofs, back and forth. Other Mefarshim, other Achronim say, no, the Rambam really does believe it's d'oraisa, it's just a technicality of how he counts things and say for our mitzvos. But you have time, you'll ask your Rebbeim, I'll give you the Maror Makomos if you want to look up Shitas HaRambam. But the Ramban is clear. Birchas HaTorah are a mitzvah d'oraisa. So the question is obvious. Mehecha Tesi. Why should they be a birchas d'oraisa? Aren't Birchas HaMitzvos always d'rabbanan? And the answer seems to be, you can find this in Achronim, Rav Zolti has it in his Sefer, but you don't need Achronim, you just need to know how to read carefully the Rishonim. The Ramban seems to be explicit. That the Ramban holds that Birchas HaTorah are not, in fact, the Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaTorah are another category of brachos, we call Shevach V'Hodah. Thank you to Hashem. The Lashon of the Ramban is beautiful. I just read you the opening words. He says, Shizun Stavinu Lahodos L'Hashem Yisbarach. What's the purpose of this bracha? To say thank you to Hashem. Ahatova She'osa Lanu Betito Es Torasenu Eilenu. For giving us the Torah. And he continues, he says, Shebezeh Ninachel L'chai Olam Havav. How else are we going to know what the right thing to do is? If we don't know what the right thing to do is, we're not going to get rewarded. If we don't get rewarded, we're not going to go to Olam Haba. Well, how do we know that? It's from the Torah. If I put you in a match, in a sporting match, a basketball game, doesn't matter how tall you are, how athletic you are, but if you don't know the rules of basketball, there's no chance for you to win. So Hashem puts us in life and says, the best thing about the life Hashem gives us, and this is not just a cliche that your third grade teacher told you, in the game of life, it's actually true, everyone can be a winner. Because your Olam Haba doesn't take away from mine. It's not a zero-sum game, we can all go to Olam Haba. But if Hashem put us in this world, and it's a complicated world with all sorts of obstacles, and there's defense, and there's pressure, and there'll be lots of turnovers, and all sorts of mistakes that we can make. So what's our only chance? We should at least know the rules. If you know the rules, you know how the game is played, then we can hopefully figure out a way to strategize and win the game. Says Ramban, that's what Torah is. Torah tells us what the rules are for how to win. That doesn't guarantee we will win. Life is still hard. But if we didn't have the Torah, we'd have no chance. So we thank the Rabbi Shem every morning. Thank you for giving us the Torah. That's the Birchas HaTorah. The truth is that the Ramban does not specify if there's any particular bracha of the three that most reflect what he's saying. But the Minchas Chinuch and the Chai Adam and others point out that really, among the brachos, this idea is most meduyak in this bracha of Asher Bachar Banu. Think about it. What are we saying? Asher Bachar Banu. We don't say Asher Kershon Mitzvah Vitzivanu. We're not talking about the standard Nusach of a Brachas HaMitzvah. We're saying Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. We're thanking Hashem. You chose us. You could have given the Torah to anybody. But you gave it to us. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes it's demanding. But I hope, if nothing else, and I'm sure you got many things from your time learning here in Eretz Yisrael, but if nothing else, it would have been worth it just to come, if only just to get that appreciation. Hodu Hashem ki tov. Thank God we have the Torah. Kihem chayenu. We're so appreciative. As hard as life is with the Torah, could you imagine how empty it would be without the Torah? So we say, Asher b'chabana, we thank Hashem for the Torah. This is an idea which also comes up in the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. The Gemara says there, one of the reasons why there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash, Shelo Baruchu b'Torah Tchila, that the Jewish people did not make a bracha on the Torah. And the Mefarshim point out, what you see from the Gemara is that they were learning. And yet, because they didn't make a bracha, they had a catastrophic punishment. So why is such a terrible Aveira not to make the brachos? That's a discussion not for now. But the Ran there, on the side of the page in the Darim, quotes very famously from the Rabbeinu Yonah, who is basically bothered by a very simple question. If these are the type of people who learn. We're not talking about people who are far from Torah who don't learn. These are learners. People who are learning. Why wouldn't they make the brachos? It's weird. Right? We're all human, certainly I am. We all have yetzer haras. Sometimes you do something, you know it's wrong, but you also were tempted. Or you hear about another person, a friend, a family member, someone even in the neighborhood who maybe even a very bad avera. But sometimes, you know, you can relate. You don't excuse it. But Tata says, it's hard for certain things in life. That's how Hashem made the world. We have to overcome that. But other times, you hear about somebody who did something, or sometimes even yourself, and you're like, you take a step back. What did I do? What's the Yitzhar even for that? So here also, I think about this Gemara all the time. You're a person who's learning every day. What would be the Yitzhar? Why wouldn't she make the brachas? It's weird. So the Ran says from Rabbi Yonah, you know what the pshat is? Because you only make a bracha on something if you're machshiv it. If you think that it has genuine value and worth. But says the Ran, that generation, even though they were learning, it was something they learned. That was their means to a parnasa, it was their means to kavod, whatever the motivations were. But they didn't genuinely appreciate the Gemara. It's one thing to learn, it's another thing to make a bracha on Torah. So what do you see from this Ran? It's the same idea. It's most concentrated in the bracha v'asher bracha banu, but it applies throughout. And that is that it's not enough just to learn. Learning is hard. Lots of siddurim, between the siddurim, after the siddurim, the key is blitz programs, all sorts of things. But gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, it's not enough just to learn. You have to appreciate what Torah is. Appreciate what Talmud Torah is. And that appreciation, that deeper sense of ahavas Torah, of being machshiv what Torah is, that's what leads a person to make a bracha on Torah. We had in my shir a number of months ago something which I hope you've had the experience of doing. You're from the other end, you're the Talmud, I'm the Rebbe. But we had nothing more special than for a Rebbe than when one of the parents meet, and sometimes the father will spend all or some of the morning Seder learning with the child, coming to shir with the student. So I had that a few months ago for one of my Talmidim from Florida, and his father came and sat with Harusa in morning Seder, and then came and joined our shir. So right before the morning Seder, the Harusa's part ended, and they came to shir, so I was kind of walking around as Rebbeim do with the various Harusas, and I happened to be sitting, you know, I paid a little bit more attention to the father's Harusa that day, and I was helping him out as I got through some of the Maror Mekomos, and he wasn't doing it for show, and I don't even know he was sure that I heard him at the time, but I heard him and he was sincere. This father said to his son and to the two friends that were also, the other friend who was learning there, he said, "You guys get to do this every day?" He was blown away. It was just so amazing. And he, as a good father, was worried maybe his son's not he's taking it for granted. Maybe he doesn't appreciate it. You get to do this every day? So I'm asking you, who do get to do this every day, do you appreciate it? Take a step back. Realize how lucky, as was mentioned before, your year or two or whatever, in Eretz Yisrael especially, but hopefully it was before you got here and it's certainly continuing after you leave Eretz Yisrael, to get to learn, what a bracha. And if such a bracha, it deserves a bracha. We make the bracha of Hashem Bachar Banu. We thank Hashem for the Torah. One final point. Let's go back to the middle bracha. Baharevna. What does Baharevna mean? Baharevna means we're thanking Hashem or we're acknowledging the sweetness of Torah. In his Chidushim on the Sefer Brachos, Sefer series of sermon called the Kilas Yaakov, the great Stipler Gaon, Zatzal, discusses these brachos, and he makes the comment that he thinks that the Birchas HaTorah are a third category. We said typically we understand that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kedushan Tazav V'Tzivanu. That's one possibility. The Ramban seems to say that the brachos are Shevach V'Hoda'a, thank Hashem. But says the Stipler, he's not speaking as a Mashkiach or a Musar or a Hashkafa Sefer, he's speaking as Rosh Shiva and a Lomdash Sefer. Says the Stipler, you know what kind of bracha Birchas HaTorah are? A Birchas Hanen. You make a bracha on an apple before you take a bite, you have to say a bracha on Torah before we have a taste. Torah is delicious. Baharevna. So the difference is, there are certain foods in which the taste is overwhelming and obvious to everybody. But there are other foods, often it's the finer and more expensive wines or foods, you have to develop a taste for. A little less sophisticated, a little less experienced, you might not appreciate it. Well, Torah is the finest food. Never, we don't always appreciate the sweetness, this deliciousness, this geschmack of learning. And therefore, says a stipler, what do? Every day, we daven the harevna. We know it's sweet, but let us feel the sweetness. Let us enjoy it. Let that be part of our experience of Limud HaTorah. I once read a beautiful sicha from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the great Rosh Hashiva at the Gush, and he pointed out, acknowledging this same idea, but he pointed out it's important to remember the order of the brachos. It's not a coincidence, said Rav Lichtenstein, that the bracha of Asher Kedeshanu Tzav of Vitzivanu comes before Vaharevna. Virtually every bit of Hashkafas HaChaim is in that Seder. Meaning to say, fundamentally, I actually was just talking about this idea with my Shira on Thursday. Fundamentally, who are we as Jews? Why do we do what we do? Out of duty. Sivoy Hashem. We are all soldiers in the army of Hashem. We've all been drafted and we are all called on to report to duty. You know, sometimes you have, whether it's the Israeli army, or sometimes you read about it even with the American, the Navy SEALs, or they do some incredible thing, and people want to thank them, and I think it's very, very genuine. You read about it, or you see these videos, and they say, just doing our job, don't need to thank me, just doing our job. The firemen, I remember I was in New York, I was in Manhattan on 9/11. I remember the unbelievable heroism. So people were saying, thank you, and these firemen, and the police were like, no, this is our job, we're just doing our duty. And the answer says, Jews, that's also our attitude, or at least it's supposed to be. Asher Kedeshanu Tzav Tzivanu, that's the first thing that we say. We are mitzuveh. And we would do learning and other mitzvahs for no other reason, if we had to. Because that's what Hashem tells us to do. But, the beauty and sophistication of Torah, a life of Torah, and specifically the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, is that even though we would do it, if it was nothing else other than a duty, at the same time, we pray to Hashem, make it sweet as honey. We would drink it down even if it didn't taste good. But we pray to Hashem, make it as sweet as honey. That's Vaharevna. Make it sweet. It's not just that it has a taste, but let us taste it. Let us feel the hana'ah of learning. And that, you should know, gentlemen, is not a bidyeved. The Eglei Tal has a very well-known comment, maybe you've heard it from your Rebbeim before, and his Hagdam, the Eglei Tal, was a Sukkot Shavu Rebbe. He wrote a beautiful, studied in yeshivas throughout the world to this very day, Sefer Hilchos Shabbos, called Eglei Tal. In his Hagdama, he points out that not only is Torah enjoyable, not only are you allowed to enjoy Torah, but rather, he says, it's more than that. Zehu Iker HaMitzvos Limud HaTorah. The essence of Limud HaTorah is to be sus v'sameach u'mis'aneg b'limudo, is to enjoy, to feel, imbibe the sweetness, the pleasure, the pure pleasure of learning Torah. But why? Because only then, as a result of that, az divrei Torah nivla'in b'damo. Because then the Torah will become one with you. Then the Torah will be absorbed in your blood. Then you will become one with the Torah. If it's just a duty, we would do it. But then there would be Torah in us. You want to have Torah inside of you. You want to be one with Torah. So that lasok, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, however you're spending your day, it's still walking hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with Torah. Then you have to have found the geschmack. You have to have found the sweetness, the deliciousness of Talmud Torah. So let's summarize what we've said, and we'll conclude with a final story about your futures. So number one, we said the first bracha, Asher Kedeshanu Tzav Vitzivanu. Why is it Vitzivanu? Why don't we make a bracha multiple times a day, even if we do other things? Tosfos, as explained by Rav Huttner, pointed out that there's no hefsek, because everything we do in life, if we're doing it al pi the Torah, then that's not only good, and not only a mitzvah, but it's actually a kiyum of Torah itself. Torah is defined as all kinds of comprehensive. That's the nusach of la'asok. Asher bachar banu, we thank Hashem, said Ramban. We appreciate Torah is something that gives us the key to being successful at life, of getting olam haba. We say thank you to Hashem for giving us the Torah. And finally, we mentioned the idea of a harevna, Even though it does come after Vitzivanu, it's important to know that step one is that we're commanded. But at the same time, we pray not only to be commanded, but to enjoy. We should want to say a bracha on Torah because it tastes so delicious. It's like a physical pleasure for us. So I want to conclude with a story which has always moved me. And when I think about how overwhelming and how impressive an accomplishment that you gentlemen have made with this project, it was one that just it leapt to mind, and I want to share it with you now. Some of you may know, if you don't, you should get to know and read about the legendary story of the escape and the survival of the Mirror Yeshiva, which eventually made it to Shanghai, and from Shanghai eventually to the States in Eretz Yisrael. They not only lived and survived, but as we all know, have reproduced in ways which probably could not have ever have been imagined by those Talmidim and Rebbeim who were fleeing at that time. So, among the main leaders, prominent leaders of that group of the Talmidim, was the famous Mashgiach Reb Chaskel. And the story goes that when they were in Shanghai, shortly before Yom Kippur, one of those years, word got to them, some way or another, of just how dire the situation was. You have to remember, these were Talmidim in Yeshiva. It wasn't like you guys today, calling, SMSing, emailing your parents every day, multiple times a day. They flipped as a yeshiva. Even in the best of times, communications weren't what we're used to, and this was war. And they were refugees running around from place to place, eventually ending on the other end of the world. So obviously they knew things weren't good, or else they would have had to flee. But perhaps because of the lack of communication, perhaps because of denial, maybe they had suspended disbelief exactly how bad it was. But surely before Yom Kippur that year, the reality of the situation came crushing down on them. And the most likely fate of their parents and siblings who had not fled with them was pretty obvious. That Yom Kippur, the davening was le'ela u'le'ela. They weren't just davening for their own lives. They literally, palpably felt the lives of their family and their loved ones hanging in the balance. And despite the sweltering heat and the lack of any comfortable air conditioning or seats, they davened an amazing davening, unprecedented even for the Mir Yeshiva of that day. Came time for Maariv, the end of davening, and the boys had a bold inspiration. The Mashgiach was legendary for his long Shmon Esrei. Even in the good days, he had such a long Shmon Esrei that the minhag was, the Talmidim did not wait for him. They said Maariv and they went to break their fast, even before he finished Shmon Esrei. This year they decided, everything was so inspiring, the Mashgiach had taken them to such heights, they were going to give a matana to the Mashgiach. And even though they all finished davening well before him, instead of running to break their fast, they were going to have an extra learning seder. And they would wait until he finished the Shmon Esrei. So sure enough, after they finished Maariv, they sat and they learned, until eventually the Mashgiach took the 3 steps back, and he finished the Shmon Esrei, and he turned around and he shocked. But the Beis Medrash is still full, the Talmidim are still there. He was overwhelmed with emotion, and before anyone went to break their fast, he told them the following. He says that there was once a story of a very rich man who built a big, big mansion for himself. But he was a generous, caring person, and he invited the entire town to come to see the completion of the house. He saved one last brick on the top of the big house. He was going to put that brick up, and then there'd be a band and a big party. So everyone's gathered when he goes up to the top of the house and he's about to put that brick up, when all of a sudden a big wind comes. A gush of wind and blows him and he falls all the way down to the ground. Thud. A fright from the audience. They come over to him and they give him, you know, some smelling salts to slap around a little bit until finally he wakes up dazed and confused and he's looking up. He says, "Give out! The wind blew my house down! The wind blew my house down!" And they smiled and they said, "Rabbi Yankel, don't worry. The house is still there. The wind blew you down. You'll get up, you'll go. The house is still there. The wind just blew you down." Said Rav Chaskel to his Talmidim on that fateful Matzah Yom Kippur, "What you did today was build the most glorious mansion imaginable. You did something amazing. Incredible." He says, "But I know what you're thinking already. What's going to be?" because tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month, it's not going to be the same. I'm making all these Kabbalahs and I mean it. I'll never be late to Minyan. I'll never miss a Seder. I'll never speak Lashon Hara. But what's going to be in a week? You're already worrying. What's going to be? What's going to be? I'm not that. This was so magical. How could I ever? I want to bottle it and keep it, but I can't. What's going to be? It's not going to be worth it. Set up Chatzkol. That will happen because we're all human. But remember, when that happens, the wind blew you down. It didn't blow the house down. What you did today will be with you forever. And when you get blown down, pick yourself up and remember this accomplishment. Remember where you were on this day, what you were able to feel, the levels, the heights that you reached. And that will always be there for you to come back to help bring you even higher places. You may get blown down, but this can never get taken away from you. And I say to you, gentlemen, what you accomplished this year, and specifically with this extra limud, at the end of a long winter's man, when usually the learning here at this time of year often peters out. Now instead of petering out, Adarabba, you took an extra limud upon yourself to finish extra mesechtas, and not just a mesechta, you know, you're half in, you're half out, to take bachinas on the mesechtas and excel on the bachinas. Gentlemen, you built for yourself the most glorious mansion. And whatever your plans are for the summer, whatever your plans are for next year, whether you be learning as many hours a day as you do now, whether you have ups and downs, whether you have challenges, whether you have times in your life where maybe you can't learn as much, never forget that you were able to build this mansion. You were at a place and a time in your life where you were so committed not only to learning all day, but to taking extra learning upon yourself, extra Gemara, an extra Dapim, and an extra Masechta. You should be proud of yourselves. Do not take for granted what you've accomplished. Do not take for granted and not lack appreciation for what the sponsors have enabled you to do. This is an incredible thing. And no matter what happens, you will always have this with you. You should remember it. It should continue to give you chizuk as you continue to go mechayil al chayil, mala mala. A good tovach and a haflacha to all of you.